The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov, welcome back.
Thank you.
Nice to have you again. Yeah, applying a bit of logic to this situation, but I'm not quite sure what logic was going through the Polish parliament yesterday
when they
decided to pass this law that effectively prevents future restitution of property to heirs, particularly that which was seized during the Nazi regime, during the 1930s and 40s. There were this series of laws that actually confiscated property, not only from Jews, but from non-Jews indeed as well. And now apparently the Polish parliament think that it's appropriate to enact a law which says that anything which is more than 30 years, any claim which is more than 30 years after the confiscation is effectively null and void, creating quite a lot of tension between the national governments of Poland and Israel. That law not yet signed into law by the Polish president, and the Israeli Knesset has appealed to the president to oppose the law that has come through the parliament, but yeah, clearly very, very controversial.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable how they just can't seem to reconcile this. They just can't seem to deal with the past.
I don't know why they would want to put a law like this in place to prevent people from making claims on property that, you know, previously belonged to ancestors. I'm not quite sure what the logic is, and why it would be necessary to make this controversial judgment. Is it because people who happen to have their property right now just need to have some closure to the fact that nobody's ever going to come along and claim it from them? Maybe there's something to that. I don't know. But, you know, the issue is that I think the Jewish claims have been a little bit delayed. People, for whatever reason, didn't go and make claims immediately. And that is now coming really home to roost, because, you know, this 30-year rule is being applied. And for people who have made claims, but those claims were made 30 years after the confiscation, effectively, those claims are just dead in the water right now, according to the new rule, according to this new law. Even if people have been processing claims for some time, but the claim was made more than 30 years after the confiscation, apparently it's over. So, you know, that's, I think, one of the reasons why particularly Foreign Minister Yair Lapid has come out very, very verbally criticizing this. There was actually a letter that was sent to Poland by the Knesset, signed by, I think, 80 Knesset members, trying to urge the Polish parliament not to enact this law. This was already some time ago, but yesterday it was finally passed by the upper house of the Polish parliament. And it seems likely that the president, I think he's got 2 or 3 weeks in which he is required to approve the law. It seems quite likely that he will approve it. We will see how that goes.
Yep, very interesting indeed. Further restrictions have been put in place by Israel's Corona Cabinet as the number of infected people continue to rise. Can you put this into some perspective for us? Are they anticipating vaccinated people to become seriously ill, non-vaccinated? Give us a bit of context here.
Okay, so we're currently in the situation where the number of new cases that are being diagnosed daily has increased quite dramatically. 5,000 people a day, 6,000 people a day now being diagnosed positively with corona, most of them with the new Delta variant, relatively new. I don't know how new it is, but relatively new, relatively recent Delta variant, which has proven itself to be a lot more resistant to the vaccinations that Israel has administered to most of the population. Also, the fact is that our vaccinations are already 5-6 months old in many cases. And so the rolling out of the booster third vaccination is going ahead, and people are taking up on it. The last numbers I saw suggested that almost a million people had already taken up on the new booster vaccination. It's expected
Incredible.
That over 45s will be called in starting next week to take up on the boosters. And it's our hope that that's going to be the big answer to try somehow to stem this tide. But in order to try to somehow take further action in order to stem the increase in the number of new cases, the government is also going back to restricting. When you talk about the people who have been vaccinated, not vaccinated, we are finding that people who have had two doses of the Pfizer vaccine are in fact being infected, have been infected, quite a number of people infected. The hospitals are beginning to fill up with more serious cases. One of the things that I mentioned while you were away, Howard, is that the R rate, the reinfection rate, is five times greater in people who have not been vaccinated than it is in people who have been vaccinated. Now, little be it for me to tell you to hold them down and put a shot in each arm, but the scientific evidence really
it's overwhelming.
So it's, strongly.
It's overwhelming.
So strongly.
Mm.
The fact that vaccinations are very helpful. It's not the ultimate answer to all our problems, but it's definitely helpful. And even now, when we're seeing a massive increase in the number of new infections in Israel, we are definitely seeing a difference between those people who've been vaccinated and those people who have not been vaccinated. And you know, there is just such strong scientific evidence to support this that I cannot imagine why people would wish not to be vaccinated. So some of the rules that will now be put into place starting from, I think, next week already, August the 18th, I think, is the new date now when all of these expanded green pass rules will take effect. In the first instance, the people who have not been vaccinated will be subject to more stringent restrictions. So I discussed yesterday with Kathy the fact that a court has ruled that people who have not been vaccinated can be prevented from going to work. That is something now which has been ruled by a court. Someone challenged that to say why, because I have not been vaccinated, should I be discriminated against? And the court has now said that that's okay. So we're moving more and more towards a situation where this distinction between people who have been vaccinated and the people who have not been vaccinated is not only commonly accepted, but in fact being protected by the legal system. And so the rules will be that non-vaccinated people will need to undergo testing in order to be admitted to certain areas, to certain public facilities, to gyms, to restaurants, to hotels, things like that. People who have not been vaccinated will require to bring tests in. And what's more the case is that those people who are 12 years old and over and who need to get tested will have to pay for the tests themselves. Up until now, tests have been free for everybody. The tests for up to 11-year-olds will continue to be paid for by the state. But if you are 12 or over and you're required to have tests done in order to go to a gym or an academic institution or a cultural or sport event or a conference or a museum or a library or a swimming pool or any of those facilities, you're going to need to pay for it yourself. And so as a result of that, all of a sudden, a massive number of 12 to 15-year-olds who up until now were not vaccinated suddenly made appointments to go and get themselves vaccinated so that they would not be required to have to pay for these tests in order to be admitted to these public facilities. So that's the first rule that's been put into place. Second of all, there's been some restriction in terms of the number of people that can get together indoors and outdoors. All of this is really pointing towards potentially some restrictions being put in place as we move towards the Chagim, towards Rosh Hashanah, towards Yom Kippur, towards Sukkot, the possibility that there might well be restrictions put in place if the numbers don't show any improvement between now and then. It is, of course, the hope that the vaccination program, the booster that's being rolled out, will change all of that in order to allow the government not to have to implement further restrictions. But the point that's being made here is that in spite of the vaccination program, this Delta variant is very resistant indeed. And we still need to be extremely cautious and careful.
Absolutely, absolutely right. And until we figure out the best way forward, it's almost like we're just trying different ways of managing
right.
it. And certainly for us here in South Africa, it's interesting to see Israel because they are a couple of months or maybe 5 or 6 months ahead of us. So it's fascinating to see and many lessons to be learned about that. The government has approved the construction of homes in Area C. Give us some more information around this.
So people who are not familiar with the areas A, B, and C, this all goes back to the Oslo Accords, where these areas were defined. And even though the Oslo Accords themselves seem to have come to nothing ultimately, but there are certainly still some parts of the Oslo Accords which are very much live and well and living with these A, B, and C denominations. So Area C is that part of the Judea and Samaria region which is fully under Israeli control. Area B is a shared control between the Palestinian Authority and Israel, and Area A is fully under the control of the Palestinian Authority. That's how it was divided up in Oslo, and that's still how it is today, all those years later, and even though lots of Kaddish has been recited over Oslo, but yet there's a lot of it which still is around. And of course, because Area C is under Israeli control, any construction that goes on there needs to be approved by the Israeli government. And interestingly, the Defense Ministry decided to approve the construction of 3,000 homes. 1,000 of them are Palestinian homes within Arab areas of Area C, and 2,000 of them are Jewish homes within what they like to call the settlements, the Jewish settlements within Area C. So the 1,000 new Palestinian homes will mostly be in the Jenin and Bethlehem areas. That was what was confirmed by Defense Minister Benny Gantz after he approved this construction. And the 2,000 new homes will be within the Jewish areas settlement. Now, Area C actually makes up 60% of Judea and Samaria. And as I said before, it's fully under Israeli control. The problem with Area C is that up until now, the government has been quite reluctant to, or governments, previous governments have been reluctant to approve construction of Arab homes, Palestinian homes within Area C. I'm really not quite sure what terminology to use, because this term Palestinian is a little confusing. On the one hand, we try to deny that Palestine is a thing. On the other hand, when we talk about Palestinians, I think there's a common understanding of what we're referring to. So even in the Israeli press, they talk about Palestinian homes, and so I will use that terminology without necessarily going into all the do's and don'ts and the whys and wherefores as to whether it's legitimate or not to use it. Up until now, the Israeli governments have been reluctant to approve construction within the Palestinian areas, and that's really given rise to a lot of illegal building, which then is often demolished by Israel because it doesn't have the necessary permits. But of course, it's very, very, it has been difficult for those permits to be obtained. And indeed, the courts had their say on this and have sometimes blocked the demolitions by the government, even though the construction has been illegal, because the court has said if it's impossible to get a construction permit, then the building, which is illegal, should really be viewed in that particular context. So these construction permits have now been granted, and let's hope that will ease some of the pressure that's been brought to bear on the Israeli government and from the international community as much as anything else about the construction that goes on in these areas, and of course the demolition orders that are sometimes issued because of illegal construction.
And I did want to talk about the other construction, which is that Hamas has prevented the UN team from working at a United Nations school near a terror tunnel. Speaking of construction, we are unfortunately out of time. We'll have to catch up with you early next week. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. I'm sorry, I only got to talk to you on one occasion this week. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. A Shabbat Shalom, and I'll of course catch you. We'll catch you on Monday morning.